Literary Hyperlinks, James Joyce. Life. James Joyce was born in Dublin in 1882. He was the oldest of three children. He attended Jesuit schools before going on to University College, Dublin. In 1902, after graduating, he went to Paris to study medicine, but he soon dedicated himself to writing poems and prose sketches and developing his distinctive aesthetic theories. He met Nora Barnacle in 1904 and persuaded her to leave Ireland and go to Europe with him. The couple moved to Trieste in 1905, where they lived for the following 10 years. Joyce worked as an English teacher at the Berlitz School of Languages. At the outbreak of World War I, Joyce and his family fled to Zurich in neutral Switzerland, where he died in 1941. Works. In 1907, Joyce published a collection of poetry, Chamber Music, which was followed 7 years later by the short stories Dubliners, 1914. His semi-autobiographical first novel, A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, was published in 1916 and the play Exiles in 1918. His masterpiece, Ulysses, after being declared obscene and banned in Britain and America, was published in Paris, 1922. In the same year, Joyce began work on his huge experimental novel, Finnegan's Wake. A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. The writings of Joyce, especially his later novels, make frequent use of interior monologue, both direct and indirect. Through this technique, the writer almost disappears and the readers find themselves directly inside the character's mind. In A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, a novel which is still relatively traditional in form, but which foreshadows many of the themes and verbal complexities of Ulysses, Joyce inserts a manifesto of what he sees as the role of the modernist writer. The narrative is no longer purely personal. The personality of the artist passes into the narration itself, flowing round and round the persons and the action like a vital sea. The artist, like the god of creation, remains within or behind or beyond or above his handiwork, invisible, refined out of existence. Epiphanies. Joyce's stories and novels are characterized by peaks of intensity in the narration that the writer calls epiphanies. An epiphany is a sudden revelation in which the soul of the commonest object seems to us radiant. It is a moment in which a sudden spiritual awakening is experienced, when ordinary thoughts and feelings come together to produce a new sudden awareness. This instant of intensity can be compared to Wolfe's idea of vision. In his first draft of A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, Joyce explains through his character Stephen what he means by epiphany. By an epiphany, he meant a sudden spiritual manifestation, whether in the vulgarity of speech or a gesture, or in a memorable phrase of the mind itself. He believed that it was for the man of letters to record these epiphanies with extreme care, seeing that they themselves are the most delicate and evanescent of moments. He told Cranley that the clerk of the ballast office was capable of an epiphany. "I will pass it time after time, allude to it, refer to it, catch a glimpse of it. It is only an item in the catalogue of Dublin's street furniture. Then all at once I see it, and I know at once what it is. Epiphany. Imagine my glimpses at that clock as the gropings of a spiritual eye which seeks to adjust its visions to an exact focus. The moment the focus is reached, the object is epiphanized." Word matters. A language to dream in. Joseph Finnegan's Wake, published in 1939, can be described as a dream sequence representing the stream of the character's unconscious mind during one night. However, the real protagonist is language itself, a nocturnal, dreamlike language that is without precedent. Anthony Burgess once wrote that Joyce puts himself to sleep with a language appropriate to dreaming. Identities merge, time is liquidated, opposites are reconciled. A plastic language is born, one in which two objects or persons can subsist in one and the same word. The unique style of Finnegan's Wake is like a voracious machine which devours and at the same time spits out a huge number of different languages all mixed together, from Latin to Greek, from French to German to Italian. To say that a character had not arrived yet, the narrator says that yet pas encore re-arrived, from the French pas encore meaning not yet. The book is full of word games, multilingual puns, expressions which Lewis Carroll's aptly baptized portmanteau words, words in which are packed the sense of at least two terms or ideas just like in a travelling bag. To say something like, my corpse will fertilize the earth and help the crops to grow, Joyce simply compresses it in one word, crops. Life is presented as a Christmas parcel, which is a combination of Christmas parcel and crossword puzzle, but also contains a mixture of religious and profane resonances. In the word mass evokes both the English sense of chaos and Italian messa. The meaning of Joyce's words in Finnegan's Wake are never final, never exhausted. Dubliners. Joyce's first short stories were published in 1914 in a collection called Dubliners, although all the stories in the book were written before 1907. Collectively, they form a realistic and evocative portrait of the lives of ordinary people in Dublin. As Joyce himself explained, the stories are arranged in four groups that correspond to four phases of life: childhood, the sisters, an encounter, and Araby; adolescence, Evelyn after the race to Gallants and the boarding house; maturity, a little cloud, counterpass, clay, and a painful case; and public life, Ivy Day in a committee room, Mother Grace and the dead. A significant theme in all the stories is the feeling of paralysis that many of the characters experience as a result of being tied to antiquated and limited cultural and social traditions. This is also reflected in their relationships, in which free expression is inhibited by repressive moral codes. Joyce himself once defined Dublin as the centre of paralysis. The last story, The Dead, can be considered the culmination of the feeling of stagnation which characterizes the spiritual life of the city and pervades the atmosphere of all 15 stories. Stylistically speaking, the stories in Dubliners are written in an apparently traditional way. However, the descriptive realism which permeates them already contains many of the elements of Joyce's more experimental later work, such as the absence of a moralizing narrative voice, description of characters' inner thoughts, and use of symbolism. Each story is told from the perspective of a particular character rather than through an omniscient narrator. Focus on the text. The Dead, the plot. The Dead begins with an after-Christmas dinner party at the house of two old and married sisters, Miss Kate and Miss Julia Morgan, who are also the aunts of the protagonists, Gabriel Conroy. Gabriel goes to the party with his wife Greta, and the house becomes a sort of microcosm of contemporary Ireland and its traditions, with each of the guests representing different generations, religious beliefs — they include both Catholic and Protestants — and political tendencies. Gabriel feels self-confident, especially after a successful speech he makes at the party, and on his way to the hotel he remembers the best moments of his married life, and he feels desire for his wife, Greta. However, when they reach their hotel room, he realizes that she is crying. At the end of the party, she suddenly had a sad epiphany, a revelation related to a past. Listening to an old Irish song, sung by one of the guests, she suddenly remembered the first and perhaps only true love, Michael Ferry, a young man who she thinks died for her. On hearing this desperate and passionate account, Gabriel has his own epiphany. When Greta falls asleep, he looks outside the window where the snow is falling. He realizes the insignificance, both of his own life and of those around him, all of whom will fade and die and be forgotten, buried by the snow that continues to fall, the sense of well-being generated by the party is seen under a harsh new light. Features and themes. Although the dead can still be considered realistic from the way it gives detailed descriptions of people and settings, at the same time it is also highly symbolic. The names of the characters carry a symbolic meaning. Gabriel, for example, is the name of the protagonist, but significantly is also the name of the archangel who sounds the trumpet at the Last Judgment. Another aspect which foreshadows Joyce's more experimental writings is the way the writer gives us a picture of the inner thoughts and feelings of the characters. Gabriel's final thoughts at the end of The Dead are in fact one of Joyce's first uses of indirect interior monologue, a technique further developed in his later work. During the story, through our access to his thoughts, we are constantly made to feel Gabriel's apartness from the other dinner guests, who he considers his intellectual and cultural inferiors, and whose level of conversation embarrasses him. However, Gabriel too is going to receive an awakening, which will make him reflect on his own complacency. The central event of the story is Greta's epiphany, which will lead to Gabriel's own epiphany at the end. The scene in question is more complex than it appears. On the surface it is almost nothing. Greta stops for a moment on the stairs when she hears a song from her past, but in stopping it is as though time itself has stopped, or that she has stepped outside of time and returned to her lost youth. The epiphany is reflected through Gabriel's own gaze as he watches her from the bottom of the stairs. In this sense, it is an epiphany for him too, in which he sees, as though she were a figure in a painting, his wife as a woman he never really knew. The auditory epiphany of Greta coincides with Gabriel's visual epiphany. But Joyce goes even further. In the last scene of the story, after Greta tells the story of Michael Ferry, Gabriel, looking out the window at the all-covering snow, reflects on the ultimate insignificance of even the most intense moments of existence, which fade, like all the rest, into oblivion.